Minister, could your political advisor have a word with you?
Oh, yes, of course. Dorothy! I've hardly seen you since I moved in.
What? I used to be in the office next door to this room, didn't I? You had me move to the front of the building, up three floors, along the corridor, down two steps, round the corner, and four doors along to the right side. Next to the photocopier.
Thought you'd gone on holiday or something.
Might as well. I came back from my weekend and found my office turned into a waiting room for cabinet ministers, officials, and so on. Humphrey said it was on your instructions. Was it?
Yes. You see, Humphrey came to me with this plan for rationalisation, to make better use of the space.
Don't you realise the civil service have been trying to get me out of that office for 3 years?
No. Why?
Because geographically it's in the key strategic position. It's the best place for him in the house.
Don't see what difference it makes.
Look, this file is the cabinet room where we are now. Through the doors is your private office. This ruler is the corridor to the front door, here. And this corridor runs from the cabinet room and connects up to the locked green baize door, on the other side of which is the cabinet office, where Sir Humphrey works. This coffee cup is the staircase up to your study, and this saucer is the gent's loo. And this was my office, and my desk faced out into the lobby, and I always kept my door open. What could I see?
Well, see everyone who comes in through the front door, or from the cabinet office, or the cabinet room, or the private office, or up the staircase. Hmm.
And I was opposite the gent's loo. I have to be opposite the loo.
Have you seen anyone about this?
The gent's loo. Almost everyone in the cabinet is a man. I could hear everything they said to each other privately when they popped out of cabinet meetings for a pee. I was able to keep the last Prime Minister fully informed about all their little foibles.
Was it any of his business?
Well, when they were plotting against him, yes.
Ah. Bernard, come in here, please. Dorothy, you may have your room back. Bernard, I want you to put Dorothy back into her old office.
Oh, you mean carry her there?
No, I mean return Dorothy to the waiting room outside here.
Before she goes back to her office, you mean?
No, Bernard, I mean that the waiting room, which was once Dorothy's office, will again be Dorothy's office.
But what about the waiting room?
Pay attention. Watch my lips move. The waiting room will become Dorothy's office.
Yes, Prime Minister, but what about waiting?
No, Bernard, at once!
Yes, Prime Minister, I realise you mean at once. No waiting, but what I mean is, where will people wait if there's no waiting room to wait in?
The place is full of waiting rooms. There are the state rooms upstairs, hardly used. There's a lobby there.
Where?
Not in the ashtray, the coffee cup and the saucer, there.
Between the ashtray, the coffee cup and the saucer.
The saucer is the gent's loo. Wake up, Bernard!
Oh, hello, Bill. Look, the PM wants Mrs. Wainwright moved back to her old office, so could you...
What? Withdraw those instructions at once?
But the PM just told me to...
Withdraw those instructions!
Look, Bill, hold it for a moment. I'll get back.
Now, perhaps you can explain yourself.
Well, the PM just asked me to move Mrs. Wainwright back. There's nothing to explain.
There is everything to explain. We've striven for years to get that impossible woman out of that office. Now you snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
But we can't stop the Prime Minister taking advice.
We are here to see that the Prime Minister is not confused. Politicians are simple people, Bernard. They like simple choices. Clear guidance. They don't like doubt and conflict. And that impossible woman makes him doubt everything we tell him.
But he likes her.
Some and like Delilah. Good morning, dear lady. This is indeed a pleasure.
Hello, Humphrey. Why aren't you waiting in the waiting room?
Bernard, there is one other thing. An alien was admitted yesterday.
An alien?
The Prime Minister's constituency agent was allowed into number 10 without a security pass or an appointment.
Well, the police outside all recognized him. There was no risk.
That is irrelevant, Bernard. Everyone must have their number 10 pass or have an appointment. See to it.
Excuse me for butting in, Bernard, but the Prime Minister would like me to make the necessary arrangements with you for moving my room back.
Yes. I've just got to deal with Sir Humphrey's request about security.
Well, that can wait.
No, it can't.
Yes, it can. The Prime Minister wants me to move back down here right away.
Prime Minister. I understand you're having second thoughts about our office reorganization plan.
No, I've simply decided to move Mrs. Wainwright back into her old office.
No, Prime Minister. The whole reorganization depends upon her moving out.
But it's only a waiting room.
Not only a waiting room, a vital square on the board.
Well, people can wait in the lobby or in the stateroom.
Some people. But some people must wait where other people cannot see the people who are waiting. And people who arrive before other people must wait where they cannot see other people who arrive after them being admitted before them. And people who come in from outside must wait where they cannot see the people from inside coming in to tell you what the people from outside are going to see you about. And people who arrive when you are with people they are not supposed to know you have seen must wait somewhere until the people who are not supposed to have seen you have seen you.
Sounds like an entire Whitehall farce going on outside.
Number 10 is a railway junction. It cannot work without its proper components of sheds and sidings and turntables. Mrs. Wainwright's office is a vital shed.
I find her advice valuable.
And of course it is. And you shall have it on paper. And if you wish for verbal advice, you can always send for her. And you have the whole cabinet to give you political advice.
Well, the advice would be to give more money to their own department. I need someone who's on my side.
But I'm on your side. The whole civil service is on your side. 680,000 of us. Surely that's enough to be going on with.
You're giving the same advice.
Which proves that it must be correct. Now, can we return to our original reorganization plan?
Oh, all right, I suppose so. Yes.
It's such a pleasure to have a decisive Prime Minister who knows his own mind.
Could you find Mrs. Wainwright for me, please?
Oh, yes, she's right here, arranging to move rooms.
Would you ask her to come back in?
Prime Minister.
Dorothy.
What did you want to talk about?
It's about your office. I've changed my mind.
Have you changed it? Or someone else changed it for you?
No, we really do need that waiting room there.
Why?
Well, because if people come to see people who people didn't know people were coming... that is, if people saw people coming before people saw them seeing people, people would see people. The whole ship would go off the rails. You see?
Did you work all that out for yourself?
Well, to be fair, I can't go into everything personally. I must rely on advice from my officials.
Yes, you have to rely on advice. But Humphrey wants to cut off all your sources of information and advice except for the civil service and make himself the only channel for that. Still, if you're happy to let him have his own way...
No. You're right. You must have your office back. I need you to be available. The only trouble is I've just told Humphrey that I've changed my mind.
So you've changed it back?
What am I going to do about Humphrey? I can't sack him, can I?
No, but you could clip his wings a bit.
Who? How?
Well, stop him coming in and going out as if he owned the place.
He works here.
He works in the cabinet office. That's a separate building. This is your home. There's another thing you could do. On top of all his other jobs, he's also head of the Home Civil Service, isn't he?
Well, responsible for personnel, promotions and appointments and so on. Pay and rations, the responsibility of the permanent head of the Treasury. So the head of the civil service job is actually split between Sir Humphrey and Sir Frank.
Fine. Now, suppose you were to take away his half of the job and give it all to Sir Frank.
Dorothy, that's brilliant. Bernard,
Is Sir Humphrey still with you?
Yes, ma'am.
Ask him to come back in, will you?
Brilliant.
Prime Minister.
Humphrey.
I'm thinking of giving Mrs. Wainwright her old office back after all.
Prime Minister.
Yes?
Could we speak privately about this?
You can speak freely in front of me.
Well, I... I need time to see whether it's practicable.
All right. But it had better be.
It might be.
Meantime, I have another important matter to discuss. Would you excuse us, Dorothy?
Dear lady.
Okay.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
Humphrey, I've been thinking. I feel I really ought to try and lighten your load.
Oh, no. No, there's no need.
But there is, Humphrey. There is. I mean, apart from everything else, you're head of the civil service, aren't you?
Well, the Treasury handle pay and rations.
Ah, but you're responsible for promotions and appointments, don't you? Don't you think it's a bit much?
No. Hardly takes any time. A doddle.
Promotion and appointment of 680,000 people, a doddle.
Well, I mean, it's delegated.
Oh, well, if it's delegated already, there'll be no problem about moving the whole thing to the Treasury.
Oh, no, that's impossible. The Treasury already have far too much power. Work.
Yes, but you see, with you responsible for promotions and appointments and then responsible for pay and rations and so on, the lines of authority are unclear. It's a bit unsatisfactory.
Yes.
Serious anomaly.
Well, I could take over pay and rations too.
On top of all your other burdens.
Well.
Oh, Humphrey, I couldn't allow you to make that sort of sacrifice.
Oh, sacrifice, no trouble at all.
Now, you're too noble, Humphrey. Well. But I can see through your arguments.
Can you?
You want to sacrifice yourself in order to spare me worry, don't you?
No. It's no sacrifice at all.
No, Humphrey, no. The more I think of it, the more I think you've got a bit too much on your plate.
I assure you.
In fact, I don't think I ought to keep you here any longer. You must have so much work to do in your own office.
I mean,
you may now leave. If you're wanted again at number 10, you'll be sent for.
You mean when?
I mean when. And if. Bernard, would you ask Sir Frank Gordon from the Treasury to see me as soon as possible?
The Permanent Secretary of the Treasury to see you, Prime Minister.
Oh, Frank, come on in. Bernard, I really don't want Humphrey putting his head round the door during this meeting.
Oh, I'll do my best, Prime Minister.
That may not be good enough, Bernard. Dorothy tells me that technically Humphrey's supposed to phone you from the Cabinet Office before he comes through to number 10. Is that true?
Oh, well, perhaps in theory, but it's really just a formality.
Good. Humphrey likes formality.
Yes, Prime Minister, but as they say, it's a custom more honoured in the breach than in the observance.
Oh, really, Bernard? Must you and Humphrey really always express yourself in this roundabout and pompous way? More honoured in the breach than the observance. Must always distort and destroy the most beautiful language in the world. The language of Shakespeare.
Well, that is Shakespeare, Prime Minister. I'll give Sir Humphrey your message.
I wanted to sound you out about something.
Of course, Prime Minister.
It's about Humphrey. I'm wondering if he hasn't got rather too much on his plate.
Oh, I'm sure he can manage. Tremendously able.
You don't think he's overstretched?
Oh, no, got it all under control. No problem there.
I see, because I was wondering, speculating, of course, about his position as head of the civil service.
Ah.
It could make some sense if everything were to be transferred to the Treasury. If you think you could do part of Humphrey's job.
Oh.
Yes, that could make a lot of sense. But if, as you say, he's not overstretched...
Ah, when I say not overstretched, I was, of course, talking in the sense of total cumulative loading taken globally, rather than in respect of certain individual and essentially anomalous responsibilities, which are not, logically speaking, consonant or harmonious with the broad spectrum of intermeshing and executive functions, and could indeed be said to place an excessive and supererogatory burden on the office when considered in relation to the comparatively exiguous advantages of their overall centralization.
You could do part of Humphrey's job.
Ah, hello. May I speak to Sir Humphrey, please?
Yes, Bernard.
Oh, hello, Sir Humphrey. Sir Humphrey, hello.
Hello.
Bernard here.
So I see.
Sir Humphrey, you're just the person I want to talk to.
Well, here I am in person, even better.
Well, yes and no. Sir Humphrey.
Yes, Bernard.
The Prime Minister has asked me to remind you that it might be more convenient. That is, it might involve you in less hanging around. If you were to phone through from the Cabinet Office before popping over to see us.
Well, it's not inconvenient at all.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Is the Prime Minister busy at the moment?
Yes.
With what?
Just paperwork.
Well, in that case, I'll just have a word with him.
Well, he's doing his paperwork with somebody.
Do you mean he's got somebody with him?
Yes.
Who, Bernard?
The Permanent Secretary of the Treasury.
I see.
Yes, I'm afraid that's why, you see. If you want to see the Prime Minister, it is much better to phone and ask, or... No, Sir Humphrey, you can't.
If you were to become head of the Home Civil Service, would that, you think, be...
Prime Minister.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm just wondering whether I could be of service.
Didn't Bernard tell you I was in a meeting?
Yes, he did, yes.
Oh. Well, what do you want?
Well, I thought that as it was with one of my professional colleagues, that I might be... Oh, hello, Frank. Might be able to make a contribution.
I see. No, thank you.
Ah.
Thank you, Humphrey.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
This is a private meeting, Humphrey.
Ah. Do you want me to shut the door?
Yes, please. No, Humphrey. From the other side.
May one ask why?
Look, perhaps I should leave.
Humphrey,
alone,
please leave now.
In what sense of the word do you mean leave?
Go on!
Very well, Prime Minister.
You too, please, Frank. We'll continue this on another occasion. Bernard! Why did you allow Sir Humphrey to come in here when I explicitly told him not to?
Well, I couldn't stop him.
Why not?
He's bigger than me.
Well, he must be confined to the Cabinet Office.
How?
Lock the communicating door.
He has a key.
Take his key away from him.
Take his key away from him?
Take his key away from him.
You take his key away from him. Sorry, Prime Minister, but I don't think it's within my power.
I'm giving you the power, Bernard. I'm authorizing you.
But I don't know whether I mean... Crikey. He'll go completely potty.
Up to you, Bernard.
Yes, but...
Freedom, Bernard.
Yes, but...
I am authorising you, Bernard.
Yes.
You alone, Bernard, will have access to the Prime Minister.
But... But...
But, me no buts, Bernard. Shakespeare.
Oh, no, Prime Minister, but me no buts is circa 1820. Mrs. St. Lever used the phrase in 1708, but actually it was Scott's employment of it in the antiquary in 1816 which made it fashionable.
Shall we keep to the point, please, Bernard?
Yes, Prime Minister. There's only one problem. If I'm to take his key away from him, what reason can I possibly give?
For sake, Bernard, find a reason.
Yes. Yes, Prime Minister. Thank you, Prime Minister.
Thank me no thankings, Bernard. Hacker.
Bernard?
Yes?
It's me. Look, I'm coming through to number 10. I'd like a word with the Prime Minister, please.
No, Sir Humphrey.
What did you say?
I said no, Sir Humphrey.
No?
Yes.
Oh, that's better. For a moment, I thought you said no.
I did say no. The Prime Minister is busy.
Then I'll come and see you.
I'm busy too.
What?
Sir Humphrey, you may not come in. You do not have permission.
I'm coming anyway.
You little runt.
He couldn't believe his ears.
What did he say?
He's coming anyway.
Are you feeling strong enough?
No, it's all right. He can't come in. I tell security to take his key from his office. My God.
No, Bernard, it's just your boss.
I'm staggered.
I'm fairly surprised myself.
Well, how did you get through a solid door?
Where's my key gone?
You must have a spare.
Where's my key?
The Prime Minister told me to have it removed.
That's not correct.
Would you mind, dear lady? It's nothing to do with you. Thank you. The Prime Minister does not have it within his power to deprive me of my key.
It's his house.
It's a government building.
Well, I believe it's the Prime Minister's decision who comes into his house. After all, I don't give my mother-in-law the key to my house.
I am not the Prime Minister's mother-in-law.
Look, Bernard. Would you excuse us, dear lady?
Yes. Carry on.
Bernard, I don't want us to fall out over this. It's so pretty of the Prime Minister. You and I are going to have to work together for some years yet, but Prime Ministers come and go. Whereas your career prospects depend upon those who have the power over promotions and appointments on a long-term basis.
I must insist you tell me how you came in.
Sorry?
You must have a personal key. Now, I insist you hand it over.
Well done, Bernard.
Hello, is that security? Change the locks on the door connecting the cabinet office to this house and then bring me all the keys. Yes, all the keys. At once.
Right, well, thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, Frank?
Yeah?
Good meeting with the PM?
Yes, very good.
Good. Any particular subject come up?
Any particular subject you're interested in?
No, not particularly. He didn't raise the issue of service appointments and so on.
It may have cropped up.
Did he foreshadow any redistribution of responsibility?
Well, shall we say it was a wide-ranging discussion?
Did it move towards any conclusion?
There were arguments on both sides.
Evenly balanced.
Well, perhaps tending slightly more one way than the other.
But nothing to worry about.
Well, nothing for me to worry about. See what's happening.
Bernard?
Yes.
I'm coming through to number 10.
I'm sorry, Sir Humphrey. No, it is not convenient.
I'm coming anyway.
He thinks he's coming anyway.
Open this door.
I'm sorry, sir. Do you have an appointment?
I'm Sir Humphrey Appleby.
I know that, Sir Humphrey. Do you have an appointment?
I'm the Cabinet Secretary.
Yes, sir. Do you have an appointment?
I don't need an appointment. I've got a pass.
May I see it, please, sir?
Sis? All right, now.
No, sir, that's a Cabinet Office pass, not a number 10 pass.
You know me, damn it.
There's a new top security instruction, I'm afraid, sir. No one, no matter how familiar, may enter without a number 10 pass. Unless they're on the daily list. Or unless Mr. Bernard Woolley gives permission. Would you like to defer, Mr. Woolley, sir?
Yes. No. Yes.
Was that a yes, sir? I have Sir Humphrey Appleby here, wishing to enter by the front door. Would you ask Mr. Woolley if he may be admitted? I'm sorry, Sir Humphrey, I can't find Mr. Woolley at the moment, and he left no word, so we can't let you in.
This pleasure.
I must protest in the strongest possible terms my profound opposition to a newly instituted practice which imposes severe and intolerable restrictions upon the ingress and egress of senior members of the hierarchy, and which will, in all probability, should the current deplorable innovation be perpetuated, precipitate a constriction of the channels of communication and culminate in a condition of organizational atrophy and administrative paralysis which will render effectively impossible the coherent and coordinated discharge of the function of government within Her Majesty's United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
You mean you've lost your key?
Minister, I must insist upon a new one.
In due course, Humphrey. At the appropriate juncture. In the fullness of time. Meanwhile, we have another important decision to make. A rather more urgent one about Dorothy's office.
Right. Well,
surely that can wait.
No, it must be resolved now, one way or the other. It's like the question of the key, really. I'd be interested to hear your views. They are really the key to the problem. What do you think?
Well, I think perhaps on reflection that Mrs. Wainwright does need to be nearer this room.
So we'll move her back, shall we?
Yeah.
At once? Then. Bernard, do you have a spare key?
Prime Minister.
There is one other question, Prime Minister. May one inquire who is to be head of the Home Civil Service?
Why, you, Humphrey. Or possibly Frank. Or perhaps both. As now, I haven't decided yet. But whatever happens, it's my decision. Isn't it, Humphrey?
Yes, Prime Minister.